Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark.
As Strange as It Gets, Volume 2, Story Number 1. Hello, my name is Aubrey Jr., but most call me Bubba. My parents and I moved in the Oak Park area in 1992, I believe. If you're coming from Subway to the funeral home, we live on Cypress Street, the first road after you pass the condominiums. Our house was in the cul-de-sac at the end. You'd run right into it if you didn't stop. Anyway, I lived there for roughly 15 years, and my little brother and sisters live there now. I've always wondered about that area because of its closeness to the funeral home and the cemetery. I used to walk through the cemetery, and even during the summer, it seemed that as soon as you passed through the gates, it was noticeably cooler. There's no doubt that our house was and is still haunted. I woke up one night, and my dog, who always slept with me, was staring at a chair I had in the corner and quietly growling. I asked what he saw and petted him, then told him it was okay. He turned to me, wagging his tail and licked my face, but as soon as I laid down, he went back to doing the same thing. This time, I started to get up to turn on the light, and I could make out the outline of someone in my chair. I jumped up to hit the light switch, but no one was there. My dad is a hardwired skeptic, so he'd never admit if he'd seen anything or not. However, my mom, who passed away in 2014, and I would be sitting in the living room, and we'd both see something walk from their bedroom and pass through the dining room at the corner of our eyes. Then one night, I was up, and it was cool outside, so I opened up the windows in the living room and the kitchen to air out the house. I was sitting there watching TV when something caught my eye out in the front yard. I had the porch light on and the window up, and I saw an older gentleman walk right through our front yard. I won't lie, it startled me at first, but then I got to thinking maybe he's got dementia, so I went to talk to him. I went outside and looked all over, but never found him, and he just wasn't walking fast enough to have gotten that far. That's when I realized I never heard footsteps, and even when dogs went through the yard, you'd hear footsteps. He was moving towards our neighbor's house. Years earlier, our neighbor's husband, I'll admit that I didn't know him or her that well back then, because he wasn't very social, and he kept her, Carol, from being social as well, who worked for NASA, hung himself in the garage and was found like 3 hours later. Then finally, my fiancé at the time was skeptic. We were still living at home, looking for somewhere to live. My folks would go out of town for a few days several times a year. Now, I hated being in the house alone, so when they go out of town, she'd come and stay with me at my parents' house. She had never seen or heard anything that had ever scared her. One weekend, my folks left, and she came over and brought our son. Everything was normal till the night before my parents were to come home. Now, our son was such a good boy. We'd feed him, give him a bath, and put him down at night around 9 p.m. Even though he was only like 2 or 2.5 years, he'd sleep like a rock till like 7 a.m. every night. That night, we did our normal routine, and then my girlfriend and I sat in the living room and were watching a funny movie. I got up to get us some soda, and as I came back, she looked pale. I said, "Wow, you look like you saw a ghost." She laughed it off, saying she thought she saw someone walk out of my parents' room and into my room, but it must have been her imagination. Even though she said it was her imagination, I could tell she was troubled because I caught her glancing into the walkway between the rooms several times. Finally, I said something and she chuckled and said she knew she was being silly because ghosts aren't real. Roughly 35 minutes went by, and I noticed her jerk her head towards the walkway suddenly, and a split second after she did, our baby boy, remember, who never woke up in the night, started screaming from a dead sleep. I know this because I just checked in on him 15 minutes prior to him waking up. My girl popped up and was in there in a flash. She got my sobbing baby boy, who at this time had a bad speech impediment, holding him while he said, "Scratcher, it's there, it's there." She told me she thought they should go home and maybe I should stay with them to make our son more comfortable. So I went ahead and stayed. Before he would go to sleep, he wanted a bath, And that was when we saw what woke him. He had 3 scratch marks going from his left shoulder across his little back and disappearing on the bottom right side of his back. That was it for them staying the night, but I never knew why, because I thought maybe he'd done it while dreaming. A while later, after we'd been married and had our own place, I was watching a ghost documentary and she brought up that night. I was like, yeah, what happened? You refused to spend the night again. I found out that just before my son screamed, she had seen the thing she thought she saw leave from my parents' room and go into my room. It then went from my room and into my parents' room, where my son was asleep. The difference was this time, instead of the corner of her eye, she jerked her head in time and looked right at it. As she described it, it was a female dressed in old clothing, and a small child also in dated clothes, but she didn't know if it was male or female. Then, almost as soon as they could no longer be seen, my son cried out. The reason she was seemingly got up and was in my parents' room so much faster than me was because as soon as she saw them go back into my parents' room, she had already started to get up, and then our son screamed. She then told me, as she turned the corner to go into my folks' room, she actually saw something move from my son into the other corner of the room, but she couldn't make out any details. That's why she suggested they leave. And that's the real reason why she asked me to stay the night with them. I had wondered about that because, other than wanting a bath, my son seemed pretty calm to me. As she told me this, I remembered some things from when we first moved in the house. My parents' room, where this happened to my son, had been my room the first 3 or 4 years we lived there. One of my dogs would come in there, stare, growl, and sometimes even bark into one corner of the room for no reason. It turns out the corner my wife saw this thing retreat to was that very corner. Another thing was in my closet. As we were moving in, I'd found some magazines with women dressed like demons, torturing men, and burnt candles with a book in a language I didn't know. I found out later that the previous renters were evicted from the property. They were said to be strange and possibly Satanists. Story number 2. We moved to Texas back in 1975, but the post housing on Fort Hood wasn't ready yet. We were required to live off post until Comanche 3 was finished. My parents found a rental up on the hill in Copperas Cove. With the exception of all the tree pollen, it was a nice place. We had not received any of our household goods yet, so we roughed it on the floor in the sleeping bags for about a week. I was 9 years old at the time, so I had no knowledge of the area's history. During the first or second night there, a few hours after falling asleep, I woke up to what sounded like wind chimes and a golden glow surrounding what I could only describe as a very beautiful young American Indian woman looking directly at me. Her slight smile put me at ease for a few seconds, but I had to find this odd enough to scare me because I was trying to wake up my older sister so that she could witness what I was seeing. The woman's hair and gold copper dress was moving to a strong wind that I couldn't feel, but I could hear it and see what it was doing. This happened only one time that lasted a few minutes, but I will never forget what I experienced. I was never successful at waking any of my family to witness what I had seen. But all this time later, I knew that what I saw was really there. Next story. Ever since my grandparents moved into their house on Freedom Lane in Copperas Cove, Texas, we have found Native American artifacts in the backyard in a circle patch in the grass and trees, such as skinning tools and arrowheads. On the inside of the house my grandparents live in, it, it's occupied at night by a young Native American boy and a girl, along with a medicine woman. Sometimes at night, I see anywhere from 5 to 7 Native Americans watching us from the trees, or I will see a man walking towards the middle of the yard, coming from the 2 Native American graves behind my grandparents' shed. They ring the doorbell every night and day and play with the back doorknob and back door locks every night. Often they will lock us out of the house at nighttime. One night, I was lying on the living room couch as I heard the footsteps begin coming from the dining room and heading through the house. Knowing the house was haunted and being used to it, I thought nothing of it. I lay there on the couch with curiosity of what it was like when Native Americans visited the spirit world. As I closed my eyes to begin trying to sleep, I felt a hand lightly placed on my head, slowly applying pressure. I quickly opened my eyes thinking, whoa, that was kind of cool. As I lay down again, this time after closing my eyes, I felt two hands on my forehead applying more and more pressure. I let this continue until the hands felt as if they sunk into my forehead. As I felt the warmth of this pressure hit my fingertips and toes, everything went black. Suddenly, I was seeing half-second flashes of campfires, hunting, riding wild horses bareback, etc. Non-stop, and everything went black again. I opened my eyes and said a full sentence in a language I had never heard before, which sounded to be Native American. I began screaming for my mom, but as the word mom ran through my head in English, it came out of my mouth in a language I had never heard. I was stuck to the couch, unable to move, speaking in a language I had never heard or known. Suddenly, I heard heavy breathing from what sounded to be a wolf, along with two sets of footsteps slowly backing away from me to the point of walking through the wall into the backyard. Finally, I jumped up, ran to the room my mom was in, told her what happened, and we immediately grabbed our stuff, leaving to a hotel for the night. I have dealt with spirits my whole life, being a clairvoyant or a channeler, and this is one experience of many that I will never forget. Next story. I was on Highway 190 towards Lampasas from Fort Hood, Texas, while stationed on my way to Midland, Texas, when I noticed a young petite blonde lady wearing a white blouse, purple shorts, and no shoes. It was a hot summer day with temps in the hundreds, so I know the pavement was hot on those feet. I decided to turn around and give her a ride, and once I pulled up on the side of the road, she disappeared. I got out of my pickup to look around and did not see anything. Then it hit me. It's gotta be a ghost. I jumped back in my pickup and headed back to Midland. I did not look in my rearview mirror or beside me and pulled up into the gas station in San Angelo. And then I searched my pickup. I always thought I was crazy, but deep down inside, I know it's more likely that she was a ghost, but I wonder what happened to her. Next story. I used to live in Copperas Cove as a teenager. I saw a lot of things. In the park late one night, a friend and I were sitting in the car, and all of a sudden we saw this Native American walking by. We just stared, and he didn't seem to notice us or pay any attention. Then he just vanished. It scared us so bad we never went there again. At the old high school, we saw some strange things like little lights dancing around late at night in the windows. Just a lot of things. Then I was with some friends up at the church with a cross on the hills off Lutheran Church Road, and at the back of the cemetery, as soon as I entered, it seemed as if there was a presence watching me. I could tell that that presence also knew I could sense him as well. As my friends were paying their respects to their grandmother buried there, I decided I would dig a little deeper into the cemetery to find out more about this man. The closer I got to the back of the far left corner, the stronger the presence was, and the stronger he felt. It was as if he was pushing me back. I stopped several times on the path back to where he was watching me. Finally, I reached the aisle his grave was at, and I was forced almost to pull down. He appeared to be from the Civil War. He had several wounds on his face, and he was very upset. From the time I entered the cemetery, it was as if he was reaching out to me to tell me his story. Then when I got in his space, he was quiet. When I was pulled to the ground, my friends noticed I wasn't to be seen anywhere, as if I had disappeared into the night. Soon they noticed I was lying on the gravel path and knew that I would not just lay down in the middle of a small gravel path. They ran to me and helped me up. When I told them what happened, I was shaking from head to toe. They wanted to leave, but as scared as I was, that man had reached out to me for help or just to talk, and I wasn't going to leave until I knew at least who he was. I told my friends to wait right there, and I continued to walk down the aisle, and the ghost again appeared to me standing right next to his marker. I could not really make out his name, but he was a Civil War soldier. He seemed angry that I hadn't left. When I turned around, I told them, "Let's go," and we left. I told my friend to go to a different route from home and to go fast. When we got out on the little dirt road, that wind all around Copperas Cove. I looked back and I could see the man who had pulled me down sitting in the bed of my French truck, and I told him to hightail it. After the incident, I started having like small twitches. I would be holding something or walking somewhere and lose my balance or drop what was in my hand. It continued like that for about 2 weeks, and then it was gone, as if it had never happened at all. This experience was a bit hair-raising to my friends who witnessed this ghost picking me as a supposed chosen one. To me, it was very interesting, and maybe that's because I'm just more foolish than wise. Next story. I once lived in a house on Side Circle in Canton. Saw shadows quite often. My girlfriend got up one night and saw a full-body apparition in the living room when she went to get our baby a bottle in the middle of the night. I didn't see it, but the total terror in her eyes and voice when she woke me up told me she was most likely telling the truth. I'd honestly never seen her so scared. She said it just stood and stared at her before disappearing a few seconds later. Another night, I had just gotten home from work and was watching TV on the couch when I heard a bang in the bathroom that connected to our bedroom. When I went to investigate, the shower was on full blast and the shower head had fallen off the hook. It was one of those detachable heads with a hose. It was going crazy in the tub, kind of like a fire hose in a cliche cartoon. All the lights were off when this happened. There was no way one of the kids could have done it without being seen. One of the craziest things I had ever experienced by far. Fast forward to recently. One night, I was driving down Highway 64 from Wills Point, talking to my son who was in the back seat. So I turned to look at him to make my point when my girlfriend said, "Oh, shit," and started freaking out because she saw a man run in front of the car. She covered her eyes when we should have hit him. I didn't see anything, and we didn't hit anything. But it was very real to her. She definitely saw something. This whole area is crazy. Next story. We moved to our house in 2000. When we moved in, I had 3 children, and within a week I gave birth to number 4. This is significant because these 4, in addition of numbers 5 and 6, play a large part in this. My first experience was the appearance of a little boy about 3 years old. He had blonde soup bowl haircut, a white t-shirt, and worn-out overalls, and he was barefoot. My husband drives a truck, so he's gone most of the time, but he later spotted something as well. Anyway, back to Michael. That was its name. It first appeared to me just after I'd gone to bed. Number 4 child was in the cradle in my room and finally asleep. I heard a voice of a child calling me Mama. Without opening my eyes, I called the child over thinking it was my youngest son. When he didn't draw near or answer, I opened my eyes and saw it standing there. I kept a low light on so I could navigate the baby at night feedings. I could see it plainly and wondered why my son wasn't in his PJs. I called him again asking if he'd had a bad dream. It just stood there, shuffling about a bit as I noticed all the other details. It finally looked at me, and its eyes were solid black. It startled me. I reached over to turn the bigger light on, taking my eyes off it. When I looked again, it was gone. This was not the last appearance of Michael. The name it chose was impressed upon me while relating this to another who apparently was visited by the same demon. I raised all 6 of my children in this house, and we've compared notes on many manifestations. 3 of my children seemed to be very astutely spiritual. They had night terrors as infants, as young as 4 weeks, uncontrollable terrified screaming in the middle of the night. Often while nursing my baby or comforting her from the latest terror, I would sit in the living room and see shadow figures in the hall looking at us. One of my older ones came out once to sit with me and pointed them out to me. He said he would see them all the time in the hall. I never told him anything I had seen. It wasn't uncommon for things to be moved about. One night I heard the noise of someone in the living room pulling all the VHS movies out of the cabinet. I believe we had every single Disney movie to date, so it was a considerable amount of noise. I got up and walked down the hallway to the living room. I was being very quiet because I wanted to finally catch whatever one of my kids was doing in the act. I tiptoed past their closed bedrooms and made it to the corner. The noise was still going on, but not as enthusiastic. It was as though the culprit had emptied the cabinet and was now pursuing the titles as they lay on the floor. The doors were behind me, and the only way for them to get back there was through me. I poked my head around the corner. The noise stopped, and the only one in the living room was me. I flipped the lights on in the hall, the living room, and the kitchen. I was alone. Needless to say, I didn't sleep at all that night. There were incidents of the bed shaking, shadows lurking about, a shadow hand, very creepy, and glowing eyes. This went on for years, in various manifestations. Being a believer in Yeshua, I realized that I had dominion over these entities in the power of Yeshua. My kids were older, and we all compared notes, then set about praying over our home and property. There's nothing here now, but when spiritual warfare is raging, those times of year that are particularly active for the demonic realm, we do see the shadows creeping amongst the trees in the front yard. Other times we see these things in the forest across the street from our house, sometimes pacing anxiously, but mostly just lurking around the trees. These things we talk about is only amongst ourselves. It's too strange to talk with others. There have been a few that I've shared a particular appearance with, such as Michael, and she had her own experience with that in her house across town. The forest across the street causes great unease to nearly everyone that comes over. I just gloss it over and never say anything about what we've seen. I don't know what happened, if anything, that would create such a concentration of demonic activity. I have seen one other very distinct entity. It's a man this time. He's wearing an old hat that looks like an old faded army cap. It's squashed and maybe a Civil War type hat, but it seems to be a shade of green. He's wearing a coat like a heavy army coat from the Korean War era, but it's old and dirty. He's dirty all over. He's got dark stringy hair that may actually be lighter, but he's so dirty. His face is sallow and sunken, and he walks slightly stooped. He appeared at my window one night, grinning and waving his fingers at me as if saying, I'm gonna get you. The next night, it was in my bathroom. Instead of being afraid, I was angry. I jumped up and got right in its face and basically told it to leave. I haven't seen it since. That was the beginning of us taking our house back. Next story. A week after moving into a new house, I was often alone as my husband worked very long hours every day. I felt the spirit of a ghost. I was crouched down on the floor doing crafts, sort of leaning forward as I did so, and felt what seemed like someone wrapping their arms around me and resting their head against my back in a hug. Throughout the time I lived there, I felt that spirit sit next to me in bed. I could literally feel the weight of some sort of invisible body. I could even feel the mattress flex beside me. I would feel someone running their hand over my hair in the middle of the night if they weren't laid out next to me. I would always feel a shift in temperature associated with the feeling of this presence. I could be sweating from the Texas heat and feel the hand like an ice cube against my skin. I lived in a little yellow rent house right across from a cemetery in front of the Little White Baptist Church in Colfax, and often wondered if this lady had come from there. Sometimes I would hear whispering next to my ear, but could never make out the words being spoke. It was incredibly frustrating. I even considered seeing a therapist as a result. That is, until my husband looked over at me one morning and revealed he had been seeing a woman in our home. I told him what I had experienced upon arrival at our new place, and we were both floored by the separate experiences we had both had but were too embarrassed to speak about. Since that day, when we both compared notes, we would jointly see the spirit of a lady with long black hair, appear to be in her very early 20s, with a long, white, old-style nightgown. The gown appeared to be crisp and clean on some occasions, while other times it looked like she had been rolling around in the dirt. She would peek around the corner of our bedroom door, almost toying with us. When we would look up, she would disappear quickly, almost like if she was playing peekaboo. It was like I could feel her eyes on me while I tried to sleep, and eventually had to buy an eye mask in order to fall asleep. I went through several of them, as they would often magically disappear during the day, often leaving me desperate for peaceful rest that I could drape my arm over my eyes to substitute the mask. The spiritual activity quickly increased the longer we lived there. Often our back door would be open even though we locked the doors religiously. Sometimes it would open in the dead of night. Some nights it would sound like someone was knocking on the door when no one was there. My husband would hear laughter in the night, often waking up to search the house of intruders. No one was ever there. The most I got out of that experience was the young woman's name, or what she called herself, was Sarah. Not Sarah with an H, but S-A-R-A. She was very specific. That was over 3 years ago, and still I have not been able to shake that experience from my mind. Next story. My husband and I had just moved back to El Paso and moved into a house that had an attic and a basement. Our youngest daughter was 6. There were instances where I thought I would see her peering out the front door standing in the kitchen, but it wasn't her. The first time it happened, I was cooking in the kitchen where I had clear visibility of the front door. I turned away from the stove and saw what I thought was my daughter peering out the front door. I immediately said, "Get away from the front door. You're not going outside until you eat lunch." I continued to make lunch. My older daughter, thinking that I was crazy, yelled from her bedroom saying, "She's not at the front door, she's with me. We're watching TV." I looked back at the front door and no one was there, and the door was closed. The several things that happened in the house, here's the reason we moved out. My husband decided to ask out loud questions at the dinner table. He asked the ghost, "If you're here, turn off the light." The light turned off. Then, he asked, "If you want us to leave, turn it back on." And the light turned on. After dinner, my husband went into the kitchen to help clean up. Within seconds, he called me in there. I went and saw that every single kitchen cabinet was open. The stove was open and the dishwasher was open. We were both speechless. We moved out a few weeks later. Next story. This happened in Anthony, New Mexico, about 20 or so miles from the center of El Paso. I'm from there. In the middle of August of 2005, right before deployment of mine, I started dating a girl. She started telling me about the things or ghosts that she would see. Of course, at first I thought she was crazy. I actually thought about stopping seeing her. I figured she was crazy. Anyway, one night, I took her home and she begged me to stay home with her because she was scared. I told her I could not do that since she lived with her mother, and I thought it was very disrespectful. She insisted, so we decided to stay in my car, parked in the front yard. At like around 3 a.m., I was really getting fed up with her not letting me go home. She fell asleep in my lap, and all of a sudden, I saw out of the side of my eye a blonde girl walking alone in the dark right by some railroad tracks that are in front of this chick's house. When I saw her, I woke her up because, you know, I didn't know what this was, and I opened the door to my car, not thinking that it was really late for a girl to be walking by herself, and on this side of town. I got off my car and whistled at her, but there was no response. I then yelled out for her, "Hey!" Right then, she turned to me. As she turned, I could see her hair move, but then I saw that she had no face. I got a little freaked out, got back in my car, and when I turned to look at that girl that I was with, I noticed she was crying. I asked her what was wrong, and she did not answer. Out of nowhere, she tells me that that's what she's been seeing. I then turned the car on, along with the headlights. The blonde was now about 40 or 50 feet away. As she walked into the light of the car, she disappeared. Right then and there, I realized that I had seen a ghost. Then I got really freaked, enough to make me grab my gun. Yeah, I know, like that would help, but it made me feel a little safer. Then we got out of there. Other events happened following this, but I cannot tell you right now. It's too long. However, that was a very long night for both of us. Next story. Well, this happened on a road one night from Annapa, New Mexico on McNutt Road, and I just decided to keep rolling on McNutt, headed west past what is now Santa Teresa, New Mexico. It was late at night. If I could remember correctly, it was past midnight, going on to 1 a.m. as I drove my 1962 Ford Galaxy back in 1977. No one was on the road, and it sure didn't look like it does right now. It was a two-lane highway and dark as hell. I kept driving, and damn my luck, I passed a woman in a frilly dress. Not a tight one, but blonde. As I passed her, I figured my lucky night, but didn't think of what the reason was she was walking on that road late at night and past that cemetery that is still there on McNutt, and before You cross a road headed to El Paso and New Mexico line on Mesa. After I had passed her, I stopped, and she did get in the car, but oddly without saying a word. I tried to make conversation, but she said nothing, but only motioned to me by pointing to stop. Okay. As I looked to see if anyone had gotten behind my car, a habit, I guess, to look at my rear-view side mirror, the driver's side, and before completely stopping, she was gone. My door opened as if she jumped out. I got out thinking she was on the floor, but nothing. I got so scared and cold, I hauled out of there, never passed there at night anymore. Regardless if you believe me or not, I experienced it back then, back in 1977. Next story. I once lived in Barstow for a short time. I stayed in a shed in an old automotive junkyard. I can remember the first time I saw the town. It reminded me of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. All of the fields were overgrown and cars and houses were just left to rot. It looked like everyone just got up and left. I needed a place to stay while I was working out in the oil field in 2012. I'm not a big believer in ghost stories, but this really happened to me. One night as I'm lying down in the trailer, I heard what seemed to be a baby crying. Or like a goat crying? I thought to myself, this was strange because it was about 11:30 at night and there was only one other person living on the land and I never saw them with a baby. I got my flashlight and walked outside. Out in Barstow, it was very dark at night. There were no city lights and you could barely see your hand in front of you at night. I was trying to find where the crying was coming from, but all of a sudden, it stopped. My flashlight started to flicker on and off. Suddenly, it came on, and I saw a giant white owl swoop down right next to me. As fast as it came into sight, it was gone. I tried to look for that owl with a flashlight, but it was nowhere to be found. I walked back to my trailer, not knowing what I had just seen. I had never seen an owl that big. I was only able to see one giant white wing. It had to be about 5 or 6 feet long. A couple of minutes later, I started to cry. My emotions were so overwhelming, and I couldn't control them. A few days later, I was so depressed, I could not take it anymore. I packed my things in the middle of the night and left. I can't describe my feelings other than depression and anxiety. When I got home to San Antonio, my wife asked me why I had returned, and I couldn't explain it to her. I just knew I couldn't stay there anymore.